Prologue. King Æthelgar. "Welcome back, Your Majesty," the Chamberlain says, pushing open the door to the King's rooms with a low, sweeping bow. "Your chambers are prepared. Should you need anything, my associates and I will be right outside." King Gregor Æthelgar strides past the bald little man without so much as a second glance. "Blithering idiot," he thinks, struggling to keep his temper in check. "As though I need instruction on how to interact with my own servants. I should have had him flogged in the streets." Stepping inside, he pauses, waiting for the doors to close. As the latch clicks into place, he lets out a furious yell and hears the quick steps of his servants retreating from his doorway. Spurred by the sound of their master's ire, they know not to remain nearby when he's in one of his moods. Taking long strides over to his study, the king picks up a wooden chair. Its craftsmanship is exceedingly fine, with intricate carvings and plush velvet upholstery, and could easily feed an entire village for a week if it were sold at even a pittance. He channels the vast amount of anger pent up inside him and smashes it against the wall, sending broken pieces clattering to the floor. Having to keep himself subdued for over an hour, his fury now explodes out of him like a volcano, ripping through the calm mask he'd worn in the council meeting. He screams again, a long series of curses flooding from his mouth that half the palace can hear. Tearing down a bookshelf, he turns, his blood boiling, and picks up a priceless vase. It had been gifted to him years ago by the Lord of Ashview as an offering of fealty. Its delicate gold-leaf detail glimmers in the light as it's hurled across the room where it shatters into a thousand pieces against the far wall. News had come, brief but detailed enough, on a hastily scrawled letter informing the king and his closest associates that the plot to overtake Dunmar City had failed. The army had been routed and captured, the Nightingales reigning victorious in their hidden mountain home. To make matters worse, the king's most trusted general, Marius Moore, had been taken prisoner. "I took a gamble sending my army, and it backfired spectacularly." The thought cuts through his rage as he slams an intricately carved candlestick holder onto the ground. It shatters, but does not quell the anger still pulsing through him. "Worst of all, I've been made vulnerable to the rival houses." Working his way around the lavishly furnished room, Gregor destroys whatever is in his path, venting his frustrations on any object he can get his hands on. Painted glass shatters and wood splinters, turning his sitting room into a ruinous mess. He gives no thought to the scullaries who will be forced to clean up after this most recent outburst. All he cares about is finding something to punish. Finally, when his rage is expended, he comes to a stop, breathing heavily in the middle of what now looks like a lavish war zone. "I'll kill them all," he whispers to himself vehemently, his hands shaking with uncontrollable hatred. "I vow before the light and the hells themselves that each and every one of them will die before this is over." Several minutes pass as his rage simmers into a bitter anger. His thoughts, still dark as a thunderstorm, threaten to send him into a frenzy once again. Once a serving girl had spilled wine on his new doublet and he'd nearly beaten her to death. He had little tolerance for the incompetence of others. But this was my doing. My advisers, everyone, urged me to wait, to bide my time before striking out against the Nightingales. I'd been so certain, so obsessed with putting an end to the rebels once and for all, but the invasion failed. I failed. Taking the crown off his head, he tosses it onto a nearby couch. It lands in a pile of feathers where a pillow had sat moments before. Breathing out, he runs a hand through his hair. His pulse becomes steadier as he finally feels the heat start to leave his bloodstream. It's quickly replaced by a cold, calculating desire for vengeance. I can sense the vultures already circling, he thinks, walking over to one of his unbroken armchairs and sitting down heavily. Lords Rupert and Eddington will look for any chance to weaken my position. I cannot lose the support of Acacia. That would cripple my hold on the capital. Kings of Tarsinium have been deposed before for making lesser mistakes. All it would take was a little poison in his wine, a loose strap on his prize gelding's saddle. A purposeful tumble down the stairs would surely break his neck. A clumsy yet well-paid guard would make such a feat simple, even effortless. The gears in his mind turn, working through every scenario from impending to extremely unlikely. All the while his anger remains, lurking in the back of his thoughts like a hissing serpent, biding its time. He thinks of the delegation he sent, mulling over what could have gone wrong. Rallose is probably dead, he mutters, fiddling with one of the gem-studded rings on his finger. Ambitious sod, he deserves what he got. And those rapscallion youths, a mage girl and a pair of ranger apprentices, I'd thought their loyalties would lie with the crown. But the rangers, who were supposed to be my loyal subjects, came to the aid of the nightingales. They must have conspired with Elias to bring about this treachery. He curses under his breath. A grave miscalculation on my part. In all likelihood, those brats were the ones who kept Xander Thel from the justice he deserves. His hatred begins to bubble anew, and he forces the thoughts from his head, knowing he'll tear his room apart further if he continues down this path. Running his hand through his hair once more, he takes a deep breath and exhales slowly. Destroying my personal property won't change the facts. I need to be productive if I'm going to fix this debacle. He closes his eyes, focusing his attention on his enemy's weaknesses, looking for anything he can exploit to turn his failure around. The Nightingales have won, yes, but they are weakened. They're no doubt seeking allies to aid them in the days to come. The Rangers have thrown their lot in with the rebels. There's nothing I can do about that now. He grinds his teeth together, racking his brain for a solution. But what about the Conclave? Yes, the mages and their lofty ideals might bend toward the prospect of a coup. It's no secret that the High Magus is no ally of mine. His eyes flicker open as an idea suddenly forms in his mind, shedding light into the darkness of his blackened mood. His lips curl up in a faint smile as hope starts to return to his disposition. "Chamberlain!" he calls out a moment later, looking toward the room's only entrance. Waiting, he rolls his eyes and pulls a cord hanging nearby. One of the doors cracks open more than a minute later, a balding serving man poking his head in, a nervous look on his face.
"Yes, Your Majesty?"
"Summon Leela Olson," Gregor snaps, "and bring me a quill and parchment. I have work to do, and time is of the essence."
"At once, Your Majesty," he replies,
ducking out quickly to do his bidding. The king stands, pacing impatiently and stroking his beard as he continues to formulate a plan. "I can deal with the political fallout of this disaster. It'll be difficult, but like take me, I can do it. However, something still needs to be done about the wolves within my kingdom." A quarter of an hour passes, and his patience starts wearing thin. He sits back down and chews his lip in agitation, eyeing a few decorative plates that had somehow gone untouched in his frenzied rage. Finally, the doors open, revealing a tall woman in a stately dress, her gray hair pulled into a bun and her mouth drawn into a tight line on her wrinkled face. Behind her, the chamberlain has returned, a sheaf of parchment, a quill, and an inkwell clutched to his chest. The king's head stewardess approaches, but doesn't bow, her pale blue eyes sweeping the destroyed room as her austere expression twists into one of distaste.
"Your Majesty,"
she says cordially, eventually meeting his gaze. Gregor stands and snatches the parchment from the chamberlain's grasp.
Leave us!
The servant departs without saying a word, scampering off and closing the door behind him.
You seem agitated, the stewardess observes, following the king as he makes his way to a nearby table.
The king grunts in reply.
You've heard the reports?
She nods.
I have.
Then you know what's at stake.
He lays out the parchment on the table and uncorks the jar of ink, dipping the quill and beginning to draw a rough approximation of the whole of Tarsinium. Drawing has always helped him to focus his mind.
We'll need to act fast if we're to keep the Court of Nobles from undermining my authority.
And how?
She asks, watching the king intently as he works with the quill.
Do you suggest that we act? Our influence has been severely limited because of this defeat.
The king smiles grimly as he marks the spot of Dunmar City on the map.
Dear Blunt Leela, he thinks, whatever would I do without you?
She is one of his closest confidants, and in addition to serving as head stewardess of the palace, she also serves as the master of the king's spy network. Some in the kingdom have taken to calling her the Red Spider, though few know it's her pulling the strings behind her web of intrigue.
And what a complicated web you weave, dear lady. You're the only one I'd allow to speak to me in such a way. Here,
the king says, pointing to a spot on the map,
is where our enemies are licking their wounds. They are no doubt wondering what their next move should be now that they've been exposed.
He proceeds to draw an X on the parchment equidistant between Tarsus and Dunmar City.
Here, he continues, glancing up at the head stewardess, we will propose to meet on neutral ground.
She arches a skeptical eyebrow at him.
You think they'd agree to meet with you after you so brazenly attacked them?
The king smiles wickedly at her.
Not I, dear spider, but another, someone they think they can trust. And who might that be?
His grin widens.
Why, High Magus Sylvania Holden, of course.
She purses her lips and frowns.
Your Majesty, are you well?
Quite well, he replies. This is our chance to make things right, to repay the rebel scum for the trouble they've caused us.
And how do you propose on convincing the High Magus to go along with your plan?
I don't.
He sets down his quill and begins pacing, his hands clasped behind his back as he makes his way toward the window.
Sylvania would never agree to work with me, especially in the war against the Nightingales. Her focus is on the Ark, and there it will remain, giving us the perfect opportunity to make our move.
He eyes the Pillar of Radiance for a long moment before turning back to regard Leela.
There are other ways to get what we require. Xander Thel needs only believe that the High Magus is willing to join his side.
Leela's eyes brighten at the prospect, the corners of her mouth turning upward ever so slightly.
A bold plan, she says, but will the Nightingales fall for it?
Gregor strides back to the table.
That's where you come in. It'll need to be a clever forgery. You still have spies in the conclave, I presume?
In the circle itself, she affirms.
Excellent. We will need documents and her personal seal, I suppose, to make our ruse believable. Then we can lure them to this location of our choosing.
A trap.
She says the word evenly. It isn't a question.
Precisely, he replies. As I said, they're in desperate need of friends. They're outmatched, bloodied, and now we know the location of their secret base. Not to mention the fact that demons are said to be ravaging the countryside.
This last statement causes Leela to frown. She gives him a troubled look.
And What of the reports of demons, Your Majesty? More and more of them are coming in, of monsters roaming the kingdom.
The king waves his hand dismissively.
Bah! Rumor-mongering, that's all. The peasants make things out to be much worse than they really are. You know as well as I do what our contacts in the conclave say. The mages believe they are close to fixing whatever is wrong with the Ark of Radiance. These demons serve to put pressure on our enemies. Nothing more.
Still, Lilo doesn't appear satisfied by his answer, but she refrains from objecting. Instead, she leans over the table and points to the little black X in the middle of the parchment.
So, we lure the nightingales out of their hole and spring the trap. Then what?
They die, Gregor responds darkly. I want to make an example out of them. I want them to suffer, to bleed. I want the entire kingdom to see what happens when they resist my authority. Xander Thel and his ilk must be eliminated.
Clip a bird's wings, and it'll never fly again, the stewardess muses.
As always, she seems pleased with the idea of deception and murder.
With no home and no leader, the rebels will be easily defeated. The noble houses will have no choice but to bend to your will.
Gregor gives her an appreciative glance.
Ah, Spider, your years have not dulled your maliciousness. What a queen you would have made.
Grinning, he replies,
My thoughts exactly.
He makes his way back to the window, his mood brighter than it had been when he first entered this room. There are few things on Bahalia that can compete with the thrill of vengeance, of sticking one's knife into the heart of one's enemy.
Taking a deep breath, he gazes up at the lofty towers of the conclave.
Reach out to your people in the circle. Let us end this once and for all.